It's a special privilege to speak in the Beit Midrash, the Krat, the 9th of Tishrei, in the presence of our Rosh Yeshiva and our Talmidim. It's a scary time. Serious times, serious moments as we approach Yom Kippur. So much on the line. A time where we think for ourselves, not just what have we done wrong, also what have we done right. It's very important for positive reinforcement to think about our past year. What have we done right? And to think about where we've gone wrong. It's a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh, both individually, each of us, as an individual, and I'd say also as an institution, as Yeshiva. And that's certainly something that I'm thinking about as we approach Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Amud Bet that speaks about the difference between Tshuvat HaYachid and Tshuvat HaTzibur. Both Tshuvot are effective, but there's a fundamental difference in their power. Tshuvat HaYachid works Lefnei Gzar Din. Before the Din is decreed, your Tshuvah is effective to shape that decree. But Tshuvat HaTzibur, even after the decree, it's effective to annul the decree that was made previously. The Gemara asks a number of questions on this distinction and raises one question from a story based on a mizmor and how the Braita learns this mizmor. There's a story about people on a boat. The boat was sinking. Davened to Hashem and the Mizmor, they were saved. But the Gemara, the Braita learns that they were only saved, or they only will be saved, if they did tshuva before the Gzar Din. But if they did tshuva after the Gzar Din, then it would be too late. So the Gemara asks, isn't this against the principle? It's Tshuvat HaTzibur. Shouldn't it have been effective even after the Gzar Din? And the Gemara answers, Hani Nami Yechidin Damo. That the Tshuva in this situation is the status of Tshuvat HaYechid. Why does it have the status of Tshuvat HaYechid? So perhaps the pshat of the Gemara is that there's not enough people on the boats. That the boat, the people on the boat, it's really a yachid. It's not enough people for a tzibur, to constitute a tzibur. Or Shmuel Bernstein, the second Rebbe Misakachov, in the Shem Yishmuel, quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer, the Egletal of Avram Bernstein, who offered a different explanation. He said, the issue here isn't how many people are on the boats. It's not how many people were davening, but how they were davening. That in such a case on the boats, each one was davening for his or her own salvation. They were davening that Hashem saved them as individuals. But they weren't davening that Hashem save everybody else. They were thinking of themselves. And in order for Tshuvat HaTzibur to be effective, it's not enough to daven with other people, but you have to daven for other people. It's not enough to daven with the Tzibur. You have to daven for the Tzibur. And that is when Tshuvat HaTzibur is so effective that it can even annul a decree that's already been cast. Now, I think about this Gemara and this specific Perush. As I've been traveling around the country and beyond the country, talking about Yeshiva University to people, I've spent the past number of months, and it will continue, traveling around the country and beyond, talking to people about Yeshiva University. I just came back from a trip. I go for a few hours and come back. And I have to say, as I mentioned a week and a half ago, that in many senses, the response, the reaction about Yeshiva University, it's overwhelmingly positive and incredible. People are excited about our future. They're excited about the potential. They're excited about the possibility that we will realize the enormous potential of Yeshiva University. They want to see where it's going. They want to participate. They're certainly rooting for our success. But in the interest of Cheshbon HaNefesh, let me mention one other theme that I've heard. I was off in a different state meeting a friend of Yeshiva University, and I was speaking to him about the possibility of becoming more friendly. And he said to me, "You know, let me bring my son in. My son's a graduate of Yeshiva University. Why don't we speak to him a little bit?" So I brought his son in. I said, "Oh, so nice to meet you. You're an alum. What was your thing about your years in yeshiva?" He said, "Well, to be fair and to be honest, it was somewhat mixed." So why was it mixed? "So I had great friends. I loved my Rebbe. But I was in BMP. And I came to yeshiva really for this room, for the Beit Midrash, to hear the great Rashi Yeshiva, to be exposed to their learning. And the sense I got in being in BMP was that this room didn't belong to me. That this room wasn't for me. So, you know, I had night seder. It was in my apartment. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable in the Beit Midrash." And this is a story that I've heard not just once. And it's not something that I believe is conscious. Nobody in this room or beyond this room does this in any conscious way. I remember myself when I was a student at in YU. So I had a night seder, and then a later night seder, and then a later night seder. And by the time that those of us who were there, there were very few people left in the room. And these were people that we learned near each other every night, deep into the night. I never spoke to them. And they never spoke to me. And I never understood, why didn't they like me? I thought, you know, maybe because I studied in Gush. I was in Rabbi Rosenzweig's year. They studied, maybe it was in Karen Biavne or Shalavim, and they were in other shiurim. I don't know. They just don't like me. They didn't want to speak to me. So I didn't speak to them. Then we learned in Gross. I went to Gross for 2 years. And there, the Beit Midrash is much smaller. And the people are certainly fewer. So actually, I started learning with them. And at one point, I said to them, you know, why didn't you like me all these years? Like, why didn't you talk to me? And they said to me, we didn't talk to you. We thought you weren't talking to us. We thought you didn't like us. And these are the narratives we create in our heads that are totally artificial. It's not conscious. It just happens. But the fact that it's not conscious doesn't mean we're not responsible for it. And we need to work on it. We need to work on it to the point where everyone in this yeshiva feels that they're on the same team. And we are on the same team. You know, as I mentioned 10 days ago when I talked about the 5 central teachings of our institution, we're all Talmidim. We're all Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. The Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik himself comes from a Mesorah. We have central teachings. We have common beliefs that unite us in our understanding of what is Ratzon Hashem. What Hashem wants from us. What He wants for all Jews. What He wants for all of humanity. Now, this lesson of we're on the same team, I'm not just saying here at the Ritz Yom Iyun. I've said this at JSS as well. Part of what I haven't just been traveling outside the institution, but I travel inside the institution too and go to many different rooms. So when I first, in the first weeks, I went to the JSS Beit Midrash and I was greeted there with song and spirit. It was amazing. It's really amazing. And the Talmidim got up to speak about JSS and what they appreciate about JSS. And one of the students said, you know, in JSS we learn that you don't just have to keep Shabbat. You get to keep Shabbat. And Shabbat is a treasure. It's a gift. We learn to love Yahadut. And it was amazing. And I'm like, we need that spirit. You need to talk to people here. We need to get that spirit. That's incredible. And it's what we can each learn from each other. It's how we can each grow from one another. When we're all on the same team. When we view each other as fellow Tzelem Elokim with special gifts and skills and experiences and insights into life. We can learn so much from each other. As I've said before, and I'll say now, and I'll say again, we must root for each other. We should not be strangers to one another. We need to get to a place where our davening is more powerful, because we're not in the presence of strangers, but we're in the presence of our teammates, of our chevra, of our friends. Everyone knows the different experience when you daven in a room of people that you care about, and people that you know, or when you daven in other rooms. I remember one of the most powerful experiences of the Yom Noraim was being a rabbi of a shul, and you're davening, you're literally davening for every single, you know what they're thinking, you know what's on their minds. You love each person in that room, and you're davening for every single individual. Or when you're B'nai Yeshiva, and you're davening not just for yourself, but for others, and you reckon, you know, And the contrast with that experience, if any of you have, for those who are married, and you've gone to your in-laws on Yom Kippur, and you walk into a strange foreign shul with different nigunim, with people you have no idea who they are, it's a whole other experience. But the experience of tefillah, not just bitzibur, but tefillah hatzibur, the experience of being united and whole, of going to yeshiva that feels that way and going to a place to daven that way. It's a fundamentally different experience. And that's what we need to strive for when we think about ourselves as an institution. Individually, we think about what we want to do as Avdei Hashem. We want to learn more. We want to work on our midot. We want to think through our actions and make sure that we're using our time valuably and meaningfully. And as we think about that, one of the things we should be thinking about is how do we contribute to our broader whole? How do we make this yeshiva even greater? And this is certainly one of the ways. This is certainly one of the ways that we can do so. And so on this Yom Kippur, this incredible day of tshuva, of tara, and tmimut, when we begin the task of fulfilling our responsibility to daven not just with each other, but for each other. I wish each and every one of you. Gemara Chatima.
Do you want to come to me after Yom Kippur for the Suda?